and Patrick had me in his arms. 9. Paige. Jordan raises a dark eyebrow at me from over the top of his many monitors. I look away and scan the room to see if anyone else noticed. Captain is staring intently at his computer, which he's been doing since we got to the office. I bet you anything he's running a search on Patrick. I would roll my eyes, but it's something I'd do too, if I was him. His job is to keep Miles safe, and part of that is knowing everything about everyone around Miles. But a deeper part of me hopes that it's jealousy making him do it. At work, Captain always does everything by the rules, and to think he's breaking protocol and looking something up to check on me makes something warm inside me. I love the idea that I can make him do things he shouldn't be doing, that he'd break the rules just for me. Clearly, Jordan has noticed me staring and is wondering what the hell I want. Jordan doesn't like to be stared at, but he's the only person I know who can get me what I want. Well, at least get it to me the fastest. And I'm not sure he'll help me. If I know anything about men, it's that they love a good damsel in distress, especially men in this line of work. It's what they do for a living. Protect people. I'm supposed to be reading about a new company Miles wants to take over. I'm in charge of learning all the ins and outs about it, and who it might piss off if the buy goes through. But all I'm doing is waiting for the right time to get Jordan alone. I tried to gather information on my father on my own, but there wasn't much. I need to be able to track him, find out more about what he's doing and where he's living. What I will do with this information, I don't know, but I need something, anything. I need to be more prepared for him. I cast my eyes toward the door, and Jordan's forehead crinkles. The scar that runs from his temple down his cheek pulls tight. I've always wondered how he got it. He isn't like the rest of the men here in security. Sure, he holds his own, but he's normally behind a computer screen, so that scar and how he got it have always piqued my interest. I'd get it if it was McCoy, Grant, or Shepard. They all spent years in the services, and I know Shepard even used to run a SWAT team. Scars on them add up, but not on Jordan. In fact, I don't know much about Jordan at all. The others like to talk. Him, not so much. Not waiting to see if he'll follow, I stand up. Captain looks up at me, and I answer before he can even ask. Ladies' room.
Maybe if you laid off all the Red Bull,
Grant says, and I ignore him. They're always giving me shit about it, but they drink my weight in coffee.
I could use a drink, Jordan mutters, standing up.
Grant, you don't want to see me without my Red Bull, I tease in return as I leave the room. Jordan not far behind. I don't worry when I grab a hold of him and pull him into the ladies' room. I'm the only woman on the security team, and security takes up the whole floor. We don't need the space, but only we are allowed on this floor, so I know Jordan and I won't be interrupted. He comes easily and sports a bored look on his face, almost like he wants to get this over with. Probably wants me to stop staring at him, thinking I'm looking at the scar he tries to hide behind his hair. He sometimes lets it hang over that side of his face on purpose.
Jesus, Turner, he mutters, shaking his head at me.
I know, right? I bet this bathroom is way cleaner than yours. I crack a smile, but he gives me nothing. God, this guy is a stone. Not even a smirk. I need your help, I tell him, finally getting his attention. The bored look fades away, and curiosity takes hold. I don't often ask for help, even though I'm new. It's hard for me, even harder when I have to ask a man. He stands a little taller, like he's gearing up to protect me. I think this guy is stalking me, and, well, I trail off, like I'm so frazzled I can't finish the rest of my sentence. I wring my hands to play up the effect.
Okay, I'm sure the team can find out.
No, I cut him off. This is really embarrassing. I shift from foot to foot. You see, we kind of had this one-night stand, and I think maybe he recorded us. Jordan's eyes go a little wide at that. He's threatening to send the video out if I don't go out with him again.
Are you fucking shitting me?
Jordan squares his shoulders like he's ready to fight. Thing is, I think he's bluffing. I got really drunk and I'm pretty sure we didn't... You know.
I let the words hang once again.
But I'm not totally sure.
Jordan runs his hands through his shaggy hair. Give me his name and some information. I'll check him out and let you know.
That's not going to work. I have to watch him do it. There's a time crunch, and he could send this video at any time.
I let my eyes go wide, playing it up. These guys never see me as anything but tough, so I know this has to be freaking him out, maybe even making him uncomfortable. But I'm banking on him helping me. I don't believe that anyone who can hack a computer like Jordan can doesn't have some experience in illegal activity.
All right. I'll check now.
I rattle off the information about a guy I'd met at a bar a week ago with Mal. I give Jordan all the details I think he'll need to track him down easily enough.
All right, follow my lead. And if I find anything, I'll destroy it.
He pulls open the bathroom door, and we both walk back to the main office.
I'll show you a few shortcuts I use for the recognition software. It can cut down some time when you're short some info.
Jordan says to me as we enter the office. Everyone looks up as we walk in, and then goes back to what they were doing. Everyone but Captain. His eyes stay on me as I follow Jordan to his desk. He has more computer screens than any of us. Most of us have dual screens, but he has five. I stand back as he sits down, and I pretend to fidget with one of my nails, not looking at his screens, but at his hand on the keyboard. I surreptitiously watch as he types in his passwords. Everyone has three sets of passwords to gain access to their own computer. Each password is 5 characters long. It's set up that way so no one can ever keep up if you type it in front of them. But I can without a problem. My brain takes in each hit of the keys and locks the memory away.
See, if you go in here, Jordan says, as he does nothing of the sort.
He says one thing while he hacks away, pulling up this guy's driver's license and any information he can find on him. Next, I watch him pull up the guy's emails. Most are related to his job at an architecture firm. A few emails are from some date sites. When Jordan doesn't find anything there, he goes for the guy's phone.
God, I hope he's never done this to me. What does Miles use him for?
I push that thought away and focus on what's happening now. I watch as he pulls up all available information on this guy. You really forget how much of yourself you keep on your phone. He comes up blank, like I knew he would. But that wasn't the point. The point was to learn. To remember how to do what Jordan did. And I learned a lot.
That should do it. You know the codes and how to use them. It will cut a lot of time for you.
I look down at him, and he gives me a half-smile, like he's happy he couldn't find anything, and guilt slices through me. But I block it out. I have enough guilt to worry about, and this small thing is one I can live with. The guilt I carried from my mother, I wasn't so sure of, because I'm not really living at all. The thought makes me look up at Captain, who's once again got those eyes on me. Maybe he's never taken them off me. Sitting back in my own chair, I debate when I can get the office to myself. That's going to be the tricky part. But I shouldn't be watched so carefully anymore, like when I first came back to New York. I was always with Mal, whose main guard most of the time was Captain. He's going to be the hardest to slip past. I'll have to do it in the middle of the night. But I don't know how closely things are monitored here. Maybe it will be something I can delete once I have access to Jordan's computer. But what will it matter if I get the information I need? Do I want to get fired?
No, but it's a price worth paying for what I'll be getting.
It's what this is all about. Miles might have fallen off his path, but I haven't. We teamed up to take down my father, and Miles believes he's done that, stripping him of his businesses and leaving him with nothing. But I know most of those were fronts, They were what made him look like he had legit dealings, that he rolled with the elite of New York. Sure, it would hurt, because Alexander was always about his ego, asserting his power over people to make himself feel like more of a man. He wouldn't be happy, looking like he'd failed, but he could still move on with his life. My fear is that he could keep doing the other things he'd had his hands in. Most of his illegal activities had slowed with his attempt to go legit, but I know Alexander, and he would never leave it completely. The drugs, the whores, the money, they were all too enticing. There's no way he gave it all up. He's rotten to the core, and he wouldn't ever walk away from that. I don't know how much Miles knows, but he didn't experience it firsthand growing up, like I did. Father Dearest hid that from Miles, treating him like his golden boy, until Miles found out how he'd really treated his mother. The only reason I even know that is because Vivian told me. God knows Miles wouldn't have had that little heart-to-heart with me. I'm not even sure why Vivian told me. She always tries to get close to me, which is unsettling. For some reason, it always feels like a betrayal when I'm with her, even though I know Vivian wasn't wrong. I'd already failed my mother so much, so liking Vivian was like adding one more sin to the pile. A pile that was starting to crash down on me, the weight becoming unbearable at times.
Kitten?
I look up from my computer to see Captain. He startles me from my thoughts, and I glance around the room. Everyone is gone, making me wonder how long I zoned out. How many times do I have to tell you to stop calling me that? I snap, taking my anger out on him, before I grab my bag and leave the office.
10. Paige. My phone buzzes in my hand, and I scowl when I read the text. Glancing around, I don't see Captain, but it's clear he must see me.
Captain. You should stop in that diner for dinner. I hear they have good meatball subs.
Me. Stalker.
Captain. You like it. Make sure you tell them no sesame seeds on the roll.
I want to stomp my foot because he knows me too damn well. Better than I know myself sometimes. How he knows all this is beyond me. But I guess we spend so much time together, it was bound to happen.
Me.
Why don't you order it for me, since you know everything?
Captain. Already did, kitten. See you at your place in 10.
I growl at the cat emoji he sends next, and I curse again. I shoot a look into the diner to my right, and can't see if he's really in there because of the glare on the glass. At first I think he's joking, but what if he isn't? I stuff my phone in my bag and quicken my steps to my place. By the time I get home, I'm a little sweaty. I go into my apartment and clean up a bit. I try to tell myself it's not because he's coming over, because clearly I'm not letting him inside. I'm just straightening up at a very fast pace for no reason at all. Looking around the living room, I see all the wedding shit is still in its place. I give up on that immediately and go to my room, putting away my clothes and making my bed because I forgot this morning. Not because Captain is going to see it or push me down on top of it. The thought of him over me has me squeezing my thighs together in excitement. The image of him in my room again, and doing so much more than sleeping, takes its hold. I feel the pool of desire between my legs. Just as I debate if I have time to masturbate, there's a knock on my door. Shit. I pull off my heels and throw them toward the closet, and walk barefoot to answer the door. Go away, I say through the closed door, and the fucker laughs.
Open up, kitten.
No. I cross my arms and stand there like a brat. I don't know why I'm pretending I don't want him in here. Because I do. I just don't like that he assumes he can come and go so easily.
You going to make me eat this whole thing myself?
My treacherous stomach rumbles, and I remember that I haven't been to the store. There's a piece of moldy cheese and a can of Red Bull in my fridge, and my stomach knows it. I let out a huff and opened the door a crack. I look down Captain's big, muscled frame to the huge bags of food he has in his paws. The smell of Italian spices and marinara hits my nose, and my mouth waters. I clear my throat and try to act cool. "Leave it." I prop my hand on my hip and wait expectantly.
"That's cute. Move your sweet little ass out of the way."
I stand back in surprise as he kicks the door open and walks right in.
"Could have used my key, but my hands were full. Lock it, will you, kitten?"
"Why do you keep calling me that?" I do as he says, half annoyed, half turned on. Did he kick in my door to bring me food? Talk about a wet dream. He places the bags of food on the table, and I walk over, reaching out to open them up. But before I can, Captain is in front of me, pushing me back against the wall and placing his hands on either side of my head. "What the..." My words are cut off as he leans down and places a soft kiss on my neck. The warm sensation sends a shiver all over my body, and without thinking, I tilt my head to give him more of my skin. The slick heat of his tongue trails down to my collarbone, and a pulse thrums between my legs. My hands move to his chest, feeling the ridges of his pecs, and I run my palm across his dress shirt. His nipples harden at my touch, and I wonder if he's getting hard anywhere else. He presses his lower body against me, and I know exactly where he's affected the most. I push my hips forward, trying to mold our bottom halves together, forgetting every reason I've ever had for not wanting to be with him.
"I keep calling you kitten," he says, pulling one of my legs up his hip so my pussy is rubbing against his thigh, "because it gets you wet."
The shudder of my breath does nothing to disprove his theory as he starts to move me up and down his leg. Captain has never talked dirty like that to me before. He's made it known he wants me, but he's normally a gentleman about it. This is different. It's dirty. And a small part of me likes the idea that maybe he just does dirty with me. That something about me makes him talk to me that way. That he can't control himself, and I bring out his barbaric side. He grasps my hips and guides me over the hard ridges of his upper thigh. The width of it opens me up, and even though we're both wearing pants, it's the perfect pressure in the perfect place. He's controlling my movements, but it's exactly what I want, so I don't stop him. His mouth is at my neck, and I move my fingers from his chest to his hair, so I can hold his mouth in place. His grip on my hips is nearly painful, and I know he's going to leave marks on me. I should care, but instead all it does is ratchet up my desire, and I give in to what he wants. His back and arms flex and strain with his effort, and I feel like he's a caged beast waiting to be unleashed. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I know this is crazy, but it feels too goddamn good to stop him. "Ryan," I whisper, and I let my head fall back against the wall. The delicious pressure building between my legs as Captain makes me hump his leg is too much, and I explode. The orgasm rips through me, and I scream with pleasure. I come as I cling to him and let him use my body the way he sees fit. This wasn't planned or thought out. He came in and took from me what he wanted. Something about the loss of control is so freeing, and I ride the wave of pleasure and try not to analyze it. He licks a place on my neck and it feels tender, like maybe he bit me, but I was too busy climaxing to notice. I don't really care now that I'm in blissful paradise. He places soft kisses all the way up to my ear, and I hum in contentment. He pulls back a little to look down at me, and those forest green eyes see straight through to my soul. Leaning down, he presses his lips to mine in a kiss that's more gentle than I would have imagined. I thought he'd be starved to receive his own pleasure, but instead he gives me that one soft kiss and steps away from me. I miss his warmth the second it's removed, but he reaches out, takes my hand, and leads me over to the table. I walk on shaky legs as he sits down and then pulls me onto his lap. The bags of food are in front of us, and he reaches out and opens one, like nothing happened over there against the wall. Looking to where we were and then back to him, I open my mouth and then close it again, unable to articulate my thoughts. After a few tries, I finally manage a sentence. "You can't come in here with food and give me an orgasm." He looks into my eyes and gives me his big, straight-teethed, all-American smile, and I want to slap him, or maybe kiss him, just for letting me know he can come here and do just that. "I got you a foot-long meatball sub, some fries and cheesecake. Next time I'll feed you first. You're hangry." My lower half grumbles from being hungry, and then clenches at the thought of more pleasure. I slip forward, plop down on the seat beside him, and put my feet in his lap. I don't know why I do it, but he smiles at me and rubs them while I eat.
"You going to tell me who that guy was this morning?"
Captain asks, after we've sat in comfortable silence for a few minutes. He hands me a beer from one of the bags he brought and goes back to rubbing my foot with one hand while he eats with the other. "No," I say, around a mouthful of meatballs. He waits, and after I chew it up and swallow, I take a drink of the beer he handed me and sigh. "I assumed you already looked him up."
"Obviously,"
he says, without a hint of apology in his voice. "Then what's there to tell?"
"I'm curious about what he was to you, what he might want to be to you now."
I roll my eyes, but try to imagine seeing Captain with another woman. I don't get to the point where he touches her before I've clawed her eyes out. Maybe he's pretty spot on with the kitten name. He's an old friend from an old life, one I have no intention of going back to. He went missing from my neighborhood as a kid, and I worried about him for a long time. Seeing him today was good. It answered a question I didn't know I was still asking. He looks at me and nods as if he understands.
"Promise me, Paige, if you see him again, you'll take me with you."
I start to take my foot from his lap, but he holds it tighter, not letting me go.
"I mean it. I'm not going to stop you. I just need to be there."
He gives me a long, hard stare, and I can see the need there, but also fear. So I nod and go back to eating my food. I don't understand all these emotions passing between us, or what the hell has happened tonight, but I'm pushing it aside and enjoying his company while it's here. God knows it's going to be lonely enough when he leaves. With Mallory moving in with Miles, it will be so empty. I need to have a meeting with Miles about the place here, to see if I can stay. He pays me a salary through his company, but I want to make sure that plans haven't changed, with Mallory getting married and them having a baby on the way.
"Hey, none of that,"
Captain says, tucking a piece of hair behind my ear. I look up, and he touches my chin before sitting back and rubbing my feet again. I don't know how he knew where my thoughts had gone, but he could sense it wasn't a good place.
"You got a TV in your room?"
Captain takes a sip of his beer, and I'm confused. "Why?"
"Because I want to watch the fight, and you've got pink shit all over your living room."
I laugh and nod. "Yeah, there's a little one in my room, but I didn't ask you to stay."
"It's like getting cheesecake. You don't have to ask for it to want it."
He winks at me, and my cheeks heat. How does he always keep me off balance?
"I'll let you have some of my cheesecake if you let me watch TV in your room."
I think about it for a second, and then pull my feet from his lap, standing up so I'm able to look down at him. He's sitting, and I'm still only a few inches taller than him. "Fine, but you keep your pants on." His smile is so deliciously wicked. I want to straddle his lap right this second. But instead, I pretend I'm unfazed, snatch the box of cheesecake off the table, and stomp down the hallway. 11. Paige.
"What happened to the pants rule?"
Captain asks when I come out of my closet dressed in a long t-shirt. It's an old-school one that I've had so long it's got a few small holes in it, but I can't seem to part with it. Mal has a matching one. We would wear them on veg-out nights when we would stay home and try not to move from the sofa. We had those nights quite often. I thought about trying to find something sexy to put on, but I really don't have much. Besides my shoes, dressing up isn't really my thing. Until recently, when I needed to look professional for work, I had nothing but workout clothes and club clothes. I've tried to pretend that I haven't been trying to get Captain's attention, but he seems to like the way I dress. I've bought a lot of things with him in mind, but I haven't ventured into sexy underthings. Yet. I also debated putting on the shirt he'd left here. I wonder if it would turn him on to know I've been sleeping in it. I could have shorts on under here. I reach up, pulling my hair out of my ponytail and letting it fall loosely before shaking it out a little. God, he looks good in my bed. I'd never thought about a bed's size before, but now I'm happy I only have a queen size. His big frame takes up most of it, and we'll have to be pressed together so that I can fit. He didn't even try to take up only one side. He stretched out in the middle, his shoes long gone, the sleeves of his shirt rolled up, like always, and the buttons around the neck undone, showing off part of his chest. Maybe I should have made a fully dressed rule, because I want to pounce on him. Seeing the little patch of exposed skin turns me on. What would I do if he was naked? Jesus, his nickname for me is starting to go to my head. I want to roll on top of him and rub my body over every inch of his, just like a kitten. But I don't, I finish as I crawl onto the bed. I go for the cheesecake, but he grabs it first, smiling at me. Ask Mal about the freshman year food incident, and you'll never snatch food from me again. I narrow my eyes at him, making him smile more. Normally that look sends most men running, but never once has it worked on Captain. In fact, I think he likes it, because he always smiles when I do it. That only makes me more irritated, or makes me swoon a little. I don't know which, and I'm not digging to find out. Never has a man been so easy with me. Nothing I do is ever off-putting to him. I wonder how long that will last, when more of me starts to come out. There are parts of me he keeps finding, no matter how hard I try to keep them hidden. If only I could manage it for a little longer, so I can have a few more of these days to tuck away in my memory. Mal is the only person who's ever stuck around, the only person who's ever stayed, even when some of my truths came to light, though I did have to fight to keep her. But Captain is different. He's fighting for me. No matter how hard I push, he stands there, unmovable. I could say that it's even more irritating, but it's not. Instead, it's giving me a funny feeling I've never felt before. It's settling, a feeling I've never had. To think I could have someone who would always be there, no matter what I did.
Give me your best shot, kitten.
His playful smile warms something inside me, and without thinking, I lunge for him. I catch him off guard, making him drop the cheesecake. But before I can dodge his grasp, he has me on my back, with his big body over mine. He's above me, caging me under him, with my hands pinned above my head, his fingers locked into mine.
Maybe if you're good, and give me a piece of you to eat, then I'll give you a piece of cheesecake.
He teases, before moving his mouth to my neck and taking a small bite. It causes me to wiggle under him, as desire spreads through me. I thought if I let you watch the fight in my room, you'd share. I make no move to try to get out from beneath him. In fact, I try to wrap my legs around him, but he's so big it's almost impossible.
Fuck the fight.
He takes his lips away from my neck, and I see a flash of his deep green eyes filled with desire before he claims my mouth with his. His tongue pushes past my lips in a searing kiss. His normally controlled body shakes lightly, and I can feel him fighting to control himself, wanting to pull back from me, wanting to pull back from where we are going. "Don't fight it," I whisper against his lips as he starts to do so. "I like it when you let go. Let the perfect gentleman you always try to be slip away for me. I like this dirty, deeper part of you that comes out to play with me. I like that I make it come out."
"I promise he only comes out for you, kitten."
"Show me. I need this," I plead, looking up at him. I want him to snap, make the world melt away for me. He captures my wrists in one strong hand. His mouth comes back down on mine, and I moan into his mouth, letting him take me and push me further into the soft bed. Something about him makes me want to let go, to not think about anything but getting lost in him. So I do. I drop my legs from around him and let them fall open farther, giving him the invitation to do whatever he wants with me. His hand moves under my t-shirt and up my thigh. It trails up slower than I'd like, the torture bittersweet as I rock against him, wanting more, wanting his hand between my legs. He growls into my mouth, deepening the kiss as his tongue makes love to mine. There's still a restrained need in his body, and I want him to unleash all of it on me. He pulls away abruptly, and I try to sit up, needing his mouth. I have to have it back on mine. I don't care if I need oxygen. I want to keep kissing him forever. I want to stay in this moment forever. "I want to feel all of you," I yank at my hands, and he reluctantly frees me. I wrap them around his neck, pulling him back to me and taking another kiss. He claims my mouth, and I've never been so taken. After we're both breathless, he breaks the kiss and rests his forehead against mine.
"Kitten," he says my name like a prayer, with so many emotions in his voice. I can see him fighting himself, and I want to make him snap. Why do I love pushing him so much? I drop my hands from around his neck and go to the buckle of his pants. I fumble with his belt, pulling it free. I go to fling it across the room, but he snatches it from me.
"Hands on the headboard,"
he growls, his tone catching me off guard.
"I'll give you what you want, but you'll do as I tell you."
His words send a thrill through me, all the way down to my toes, and I swear I can feel them tingle. My dirty captain is coming back out to play. I slowly raise my hands to the headboard. I wrap my fingers around the metal bar and do as he says. He flashes a predatory smile as he wraps the belt around my wrists and through the bars. My heart pounds in my chest, and my body clenches with want. I have to bite back a moan as I watch him do it. Don't get me wrong, I always thought sex with Captain would be good, but I didn't think it would go like this. He didn't strike me as kinky, but maybe I'm so vanilla myself that I think this is a kink. I lick my lips, wondering what he'll do next. I can't find any words as I stare at him in anticipation. All too slowly, he sits up and looks down at me. He locks his jaw, and I can see all that control he's trying to hold in as he pushes my shirt up my body, exposing me inch by inch. And I wonder if he is torturing himself, too. When I'm fully bared to him, he cups my breasts with his rough hands, and they fill them perfectly. I arch my back for him, loving the roughness of his hands on my smooth skin.
"Captain," I moan, begging for more. "Please."
"You call me Ryan when I have my hands on you, or I'll stop."
His thumbs brush over my nipples, then halt as he waits for me to do as he tells me.
"Ryan, please. I need more."
"Good girl," he says, his voice thick with need. "I know what you need, kitten."
He slides his hand down my body, making my sensitive skin tingle with every touch.
"I wanted to taste all of you tonight, but I can't. I don't think I can stop myself if I have a taste. I'd want to cover every inch of you with my mouth and make sure you were covered in my smell. But right now, instead of that, let me give you what I can."
Oh, God, I breathe shakily. A whimper escapes as he reaches into his pants. I suck in a breath in an attempt to ground myself. He pulls out his cock, wrapping his hand around it and stroking the long, thick shaft. It's insanely erotic, watching him touch himself. I grip the bar on the headboard tighter, wishing I could touch him. I have the urge to do that for him. My inner walls clench with a need to be filled as he stares down at me, stroking himself. I can feel my panties dampen at the sight, but I can't look away. Suddenly, he grips my hips, pulling my ass onto his thighs, opening me up even more to him. He pulls my simple white panties to the side as he glides the head of his cock against my clit, barely grazing it. My whole body jerks at the sensation. He slides his fingers to the lips of my sex, opening it and baring all of me to him. A string of words I can't understand come out of Ryan's mouth as I throw my head back, thrusting my chest into the air as he moves back and forth.
God, you're beautiful, I hear him say, making me look back at his face.
His eyes are trained on me as he continues to rub the head of his cock against my clit, back and forth, driving me crazy, pushing me closer to my climax. I start to move my hips with him, thrusting and grinding, miming sex. Ryan, his nostrils flare at the sound of his name. His dark green eyes seem darker than normal, and he looks primal. His thighs spread even more, and my legs go with them, opening me impossibly wider as his hand moves to my hip, his fingers digging into me. It's a possessive hold, so tight I swear I can feel it all the way to the bone, the perfect bite of pain. And just like that, the climax slams into me, making me cry out his name. Ryan jerks against me, and the warmth of his release coats me as we both reach our peak together. The heat of his seed on me and his possessive grip stretch the orgasm rolling through my body, reaching heights I'd never thought possible. I explode from every inch of my body, and when it finally ends, I'm exhausted. My whole body goes lax, and my eyes fall closed. I don't know how long we stay like this, but I can feel Ryan's eyes on me the whole time. He's staring down at me, but I can't summon the power to open my eyes or ask for my hands to be unbuckled. I'm not sure I want to be let go. His fingers brush against me as he moves my panties back into place, and then he cups me. I feel like I've been marked on some unspoken, primal level. His release makes my panties stick to me, and I can't say that I hate the sensation. I hear him shuffle around for a minute, then my wrists are free. He runs his fingers along where my hands were bound, massaging them. Then his mouth is there, kissing them, and it makes me smile. When he's finished, he places his lips on mine, in a kiss so soft I melt a little more into the bed, and sleep starts to take me. I would protest when he pulls away, but he takes me into his arms, wrapping his big body around me. His legs tangle with mine, and it's better than the kiss. Having him wrapped so tightly around me is comforting and safe.
Want your cheesecake, kitten?
No, I slur, because in this moment, there isn't anything in the world I want more than to fall asleep in Ryan's arms. 12. Paige. When I wake in the morning, I know instantly Captain's not in the room. I've gotten to the point where I can feel him, no matter where he is. Rolling over, I see a note and a little butterfly flaps its wings in my belly.
Kitten, I'm taking Mallory to meet with a wedding planner. Miles asked to walk to work with you this morning, so get your pretty ass up and get to it. Missing you. R. P.S. Your snore is adorable.
I want to crumple up the note, but at the same time I want to hug it to my chest. How can he be so annoying and sweet at the same time? Just like last night, He was sweet in the dirtiest way, showing me a side of him I didn't even know was there. I like when I get that from him. Everyone else sees him as calm and cool, but I get to see something else. Like I have my own part of Captain that no one else gets. Only I can draw it out of him. And he does it to me, too. It reminds me of the night he brought me home and told me he wanted the page I hide from the world, and I found myself wanting to give it to him. I jump in the shower and make quick work of getting ready. When I'm out, I blow-dry my hair a little and then pull it back into a low ponytail. I knot the length around the band, making it look like I have some kind of hairstyle, when really this is the easiest thing. I pull out a long-sleeved blue shirt dress that makes my eyes pop, and a pair of long black slacks. It's my basic uniform of a button-up and slacks, but the fun is always in the shoes. Today, I grab my royal blue pair of Manolo Blahniks and slip them on. They match my shirt and my eyes, and I wonder if Captain will like it. I shake the thought from my mind. When I walk to the front door, I see a bag on the counter. I wonder how he left to get me breakfast and then came back and set it on the counter without my waking up. I must have been more tired than I realized last night. I open the bag and smile at the baked goods inside. He even brought me a Red Bull. I walk out the door, going to the lobby to wait for Miles to come down so I can escort him to work. When I get downstairs, he's already waiting on me and talking to the front desk manager, and I check my watch to be sure I'm not late. I'm actually 15 minutes early, so I wonder what's going on.
Morning,
I mumble around a mouthful of muffin.
Hi,
he says, smiling and then eyeing the bag. I hold it out to him, politely, in offering, but thankfully he shakes his head. I don't know that I could have parted with any of the food Captain got for me. Something about him getting it makes it feel extra special.
I thought I'd come down early and we could walk to work together. Mallory wanted to meet the wedding planner first and seems to think that it would be for the best. Something about me scaring her off if I went with her.
You don't say. I raise an eyebrow. Miles laughs, and I realize he's never done that with me before. The strange sound is nice, and for a second I forget our history and laugh with him.
I also thought this might be a good chance to talk.
My smile drops along with my stomach. It's the fear that's been sitting in the back of my mind. Now that he has Mallory, he doesn't need me anymore. His little spy is no longer useful. Hell, I think I actually made things worse for him since we've gotten to New York, even plotting to sneak out with Mal one night. I'm surprised he didn't fire me on the spot that time.
Let's walk. It's nice out this morning.
I nod and slip my bag of breakfast into my shoulder bag. I'm not so hungry anymore, and I feel like I'm going to be sick. But better to get this over with as soon as possible, and while it's only the two of us. Mal would probably make him keep me on, and I don't want to be here just because I'm his soon-to-be wife's best friend. I want to be here because I'm wanted, not because I'm pitied.
Paige, I've always known what you mean to Mallory, and how important you are to her. I knew that even before she found out the truth about how I'd influenced her life. I saw the relationship you two had forged over time, and I don't want to interfere with that, even if at times I'm a little jealous of it.
We walked at a slow pace, but I look ahead, staying quiet and listening to what he has to say. This must be his way of letting me down gently.
And before Mallory, I had a hard time expressing my feelings to people, including you.
I can feel Miles look over to me, but I don't acknowledge it.
I know that we're in a strange situation with our relationship to each other and our history, but I wanted to clear that up now that Mallory has agreed to marry me and we're going to have a baby. I'm on a new path.
I know he is. He isn't after our father anymore, but I'm sure he knows I still am, and I'm guessing he doesn't want that around him or Mal. I can't take the anticipation anymore, and I stop in my tracks, turning to him. It's fine. I'll have my stuff out by the end of the week. Do I still have a job or not? Miles looks at me with wide eyes, and I cross my arms, waiting for him to speak up. ripped the Band-Aid off already. I'm a big girl and I can deal with it.
Paige.
He pauses, and his mouth opens and closes a little, like a fish. He lets out a disgruntled breath, and then tries again.
Paige, that's not what this is. I know I'm bad at this, but I'm trying, so be patient with me, okay?
I shift my weight to my other foot, not understanding what he means. He pinches the bridge of his nose and curses, then looks at me again with eyes so like my own.
I'm trying to say that I care about you as a sister and as a friend. That I know I've been cold and distant for a long time, but it was my own ass getting in the way. You're not only important to my Mallory, but you're important to me. To the family we're building. One that you are part of.
He reaches inside his jacket and hands me an envelope.
This is the deed to your apartment. I'm giving it to you. You're still employed through Osborne Corp, but if you choose to seek employment elsewhere, I won't stop you. But know that I would be truly sad to see you go. You're an asset to the company and to your team. To everything Mallory and I are trying to build together.
I take the envelope and hold it in my hands, feeling tears sting my eyes. What is happening?
You and I have a common enemy, and I know our original plan changed for me. But if you need help with anything...
He gives me a hard look, and something like understanding passes between us.
Anything at all, you tell me, and I'm there for you. I can never repay you for what you did to get my Mallory to me, so I hope this is a start. I'm grateful that I have you, and I hope now that things are settled between us, we can start to mend our broken past.
I hug the envelope to my chest and look down at my shoes, nodding. I don't want to cry, and I'm afraid if I look at him, I will. Thank you, I whisper, and as if in understanding, Miles starts to walk again. The rest of our journey to work is silent, and by the time we've arrived at Osborne Corp., I've got my emotions under control. When we pause outside the glass entrance, I turn to him. Mallory was right about you. Miles nods, a smile pulling at his lips.
She usually is.
I'm not done with him, I say, and Miles nods again. I'll do what I can on my own, because I want to keep your hands clean. But he's got things he needs to atone for.
I'm here if you need me,
is all he says. We walk inside and part ways, and I slip into the ladies' room before going to my desk. When I walk inside, I go into the first stall, lock the door behind me, and lean back against the wall. I put my hand over my mouth and let out the sob that I was holding in the whole way to work. All the worries that I didn't know were hiding so close to the surface finally release, and I let them go. It's like a weight has been lifted from my heart, and I feel lighter. I allow myself a few moments to get it all out of my system, and then I take a shaky breath. A giggle escapes my lips, and I realize I'm happy. The worry of being pushed away from Mallory and from my home is gone. In its place is a dream of the future, one where I'm part of a family and have people who care about me. There were times in my life when I thought this was never possible, and to have it at my fingertips is something I didn't dare allow myself to hope for. I walk out to the sink and wash my face, thinking about the path that's stretching in front of me. If this is possible, then what else could be? I finish drying my hands, and suddenly an image of Captain and me together forms in my mind. Would this be possible too? Could I have a life with him, despite my past? Walking out to my desk, I see McCoy, Grant, and Shepard are already in their seats, and I hear Jordan making coffee in the break room off to the side. Captain's chair is empty, and I'm reminded that he's with Mallory this morning. I wonder how it's going, and think about texting Mallory, but realize she probably needs to pay attention. Dropping my bag and sitting down in my chair, I decide to text Captain instead. Me. I do not snore. Immediately, the chat bubble pops up, like he's been waiting all morning for me to text. Something about that makes me smile, and I feel that little butterfly again.
Captain, I've got video evidence.
I cover my mouth with my hand, and I think he's got to be lying.
Me. Bullshit.
Captain, does this look like the face of a guy who lies? He sends a pic of himself, and I can't help the goofy grin that spreads across my face. God, what this man does to me. Then I see the attached video, and my mouth pops open. That fucker recorded me sleeping. And he's right. I do snore.
Me. Oh, you're dead meat. You wait and see. Payback is a bitch with red hair.
Captain.
I look forward to it. How about tonight? I got passes to the new brewery that opened up in Chelsea.
Me.
If you're trying to bribe me with beer, it won't work.
Captain.
They have hot dogs, too.
Damn it.
Me. Fine. You win.
Captain.
Always do. See you after lunch. X.
The kiss on the end of the text feels silly, but at the same time I reach out and touch it, like he actually sent a kiss. I put the phone down and then drop my face in my hands. This isn't supposed to be happening. I'm not supposed to be falling for him like this. None of this is part of the plan. I wish someone would tell that to my heart. 13. Paige.
You going to get this shit out of here?
I ask Mal as I prop my ass up against the counter in the kitchen, looking over at the bridal explosion that is my living room.
Are you going to tell me what's up with this little number?
Mal drops one of the bridal books she's holding and runs her eyes over my outfit as she joins me in the kitchen. I have on a pair of white shorts, ankle boots, and a dark purple crop top, which, if I move just right, will show a little bit of my stomach. It's not something I'd normally wear, but I find I'm doing a lot of things lately I don't normally do. Besides, my new favorite thing is to get Captain worked up. I like seeing how far I can push him before he snaps. Get him to use that dirty mouth of his on me. When he doesn't hold back his emotions, I don't have to decide if I should give in and enjoy our time, or if I should stay as far away as possible. When I'm not the one holding the power, it leaves the decision up to him. It's a useless game, because I know what choice I'm going to make, but apparently I still like playing the game. I shrug, trying to downplay it.
Going for a few beers?
I miss beer. She puts on this fake little frown, making me roll my eyes. She's been pregnant 5 minutes. How can she miss anything?
Yeah, you look real broken up about it.
She places her hand on her stomach, and her face lights up. It's been like that for the past few days. She only pretends to pout, so I bet it works on Miles.
Speaking of which, where is your shadow? I find it hard to believe he's let you out twice in one day.
She waves her hand as if Miles is nothing to worry about.
Back to beers. She wiggles her eyebrows.
Captain?
Yeah, he suckered me in with beers and hot dogs. How can a girl say no to that?
I do a fake swoon, but Mal smiles bigger, knowing it's probably the perfect date to ask me on.
Maybe you should have a snack or something. I mean, this is a date, and sometimes when you eat, you get a little...
She chomps her teeth together, like she's trying to make an animal face.
What are you doing?
You know, like a crazy tiger. She brings her hands up, doing some swiping motions. The worst tiger impression I've ever seen.
Does your tiger have rabies or something?
Sometimes I wonder if you do. She pushes away from the counter.
Come on, let me do your makeup.
I groan at the idea. This is a game we've played for years, but she has nothing to barter with.
I'll get all this stuff out of here if you let me. All the pink will be removed from this apartment before you come back home tonight.
I weigh her offer. I could simply throw all the shit in the hallway. As if reading my thoughts, she trims her deal.
Just mascara and this lipstick I got that will match your top.
Without waiting for a response, she heads for her old room. When I enter,
She's digging through one of her makeup bags. I glance around her room and think about how fast things have changed. We haven't really been in New York long, but for some reason it feels longer. Most of Mal's stuff is still here. From what I can tell of the clothes she's been wearing, Miles must have filled her closet with new ones at their place. Mal stops rifling through her bag and places her head on my shoulder, her fingers locking with mine. "It's going to be weird not living with you," she finally says. I lean my head against hers, thinking the same thing. "You're just a few floors up," I remind her, and myself. "I know."